الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأحسنوا إن الله يحب المحسنين. وقال تبارك وتعالى في مقام آخر: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, sisters, mothers, and my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullahu ta'ala has quoted one hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. The Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, "The al-Muslimu akhul muslimi." Al-Muslimu akhul muslimi. The Muslims are brothers amongst each other. One Muslim brother is a brother of another Muslim. Al-Muslimu akhul muslimi. Same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. Verily, all the believers are brothers. Now the people who understand the Arabic language will know that the singular word of ikhwatun is akhun, brother. There are two plurals of akhun. One is ikhwan and one is ikhwa. The point to be noted here is that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that innamal mu'minuna ikhwa, the mu'mineen and the believers are brothers, He uses the plural al-ikhwa. He does not use ikhwan. The difference between these two plurals of akhun, ikhwan and ikhwa, is that ikhwan are those brothers who are not real brothers. And ikhwatun are those brothers who are real brothers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the mu'mineen and the believers should be so close to each other. They should be so close to each other. There should be such a strong bond, link, and connection between each other that they should be like ikhwan, like real brothers. Al-Muslimu akhul muslim. La yadhlimuhu wa la yusallimuhu. They do not oppress each other. They do not hand them over to their enemies. They do not oppress them physically, mentally. They are just to them. They fulfill their rights. They don't exceed the boundaries. And they don't go and oppress their Muslim brothers. لا يظلمه ولا يسلمه. The gist of these two sentences is that he does not inconvenience his Muslim brother. But this is not sufficient. This is not enough that a Muslim does not oppress and he does not inconvenience his Muslim brother. There is something else to it that Allah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentions ahead. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ. Not to oppress your Muslim brother is not enough. Obviously, you have to do this. This is also important. But at the same time, to be good and to strive in fulfilling the responsibilities and to remove the difficulty from a Muslim brother is equally important. مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ. When a person sees through the needs of his Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after his needs. Another hadith mentioned by Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala, quoted by Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that man nafasa an mu'minin min kurbatan min kurabid dunya, that when a Muslim brother, when a believer, he removes one difficulty from the difficulties of this dunya from his Muslim brother. Nafasallahu anhu kurbatan min kurabi yawmil qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove one difficulty from the difficulties of the hereafter. Again, the point to be noted here is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he uses nakira here, kurbatan, kurbatan. He uses nakira. He does not use ma'rifah. He does not use a definite noun. He uses indefinite noun. And when tanween comes, that this tanween comes for different reasons. Sometimes tanween comes for taqleel, to show something less. Sometimes tanween comes for takthir, to show something in abundance. Sometimes tanween comes litta'zeem, to show the higher rank and lofty status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their particular thing. So tanween comes for different reasons. Now here in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first kurbatan means that man nafasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurabid dunya. That if a Muslim was to remove a minor difficulty from his Muslim brother, from the difficulties of this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a major difficulty from him, from the difficulties of the hereafter. This is the benefit of helping one another. This is the benefit of helping one another. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the help of His servant. His servant, His believer, as long as he is in the help of his Muslim brother. What happened when the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum migrated from Mecca to Medina? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to embark on his journey, and he migrated from Mecca to Medina. The narration says that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam gathered the muhajirun and the ansar. Muhajirun are those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, the refugees, the emigrants. And the ansar are those who used to reside in Medina from before and who supported the muhajirun. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam gathered muhajirun and ansar in the house of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an. There were 90 men, 90 people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created brotherhood between them. He made pairs. He made pairs. And he created such brotherhood that he uprooted the roots of discrimination at that time. Because Arabs used to consider themselves higher than others. If a person is from Abyssinia, if his color is black, they would look down upon him. That this person is inferior. We are superior. We are from so-and-so clan, and he is from so-and-so clan. So he is inferior, we are superior. We are from this land, and he is from that land. We are superior, they are inferior. This was the discrimination in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he created this brotherhood, he broke the wall of discrimination. And there was so much love between the muhajirun and the ansar that they greeted them with so much love, so much affection, that they were ready to share everything. They were ready to distribute their wealth. They were ready to share their homes. They were ready to share their wealth. They were ready to share their orchards and their properties. This was the love between muhajirun and ansar. Let me give you one example. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he created brotherhood between Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Sa'ad bin Rabi'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. These two were made brothers by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just as soon as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made them both brothers, there was so much love in the hearts of both that when they reached home, Sa'ad bin Rabi'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was from amongst the Ansar. He said to his brother Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me immensely. He has granted me a lot of wealth. And alhamdulillah, I'm in a good position. I have two orchards, two wives. If you wish, I will give you one orchard. And also if you wish, I will give divorce to one of my wives and you will marry her. Now you choose which one do you like. This is the extent of love and brotherhood created by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how much they held the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum amongst each other. Muhajirun and Ansar, these people are examples for me and you, my brothers and elders. Now the situation we are going through at this moment in time, we all know what is happening in Syria. We all know what is happening in Syria. So many civilians and innocent people are being killed and beheaded for no reason. Approximately more than 70,000 innocent people have been killed so far. These are Muslim brothers. These are Muslim brothers. They're calling out for our help. They are in need of our help. And it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility, religious responsibility. It is our humanitarian responsibility that we help these people. We help these people. They are Muslim brothers. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. Mu'mineen are like brothers. Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Ja'a rajulun ila nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once a companion radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqal, and he said that ayyun nasi ahabbu ila Allah wa ayyul a'mali ahabbu ila Allah. He poses two questions, that who is the most beloved person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which action is most beloved and dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two questions. When answering this question, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he did not say that to perform excessive salah is one of the great deeds and this person is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, a person has to carry out fara'id and nawafil. There is no excuse, there is no compromising in fara'id and nawafil. These things are compulsory. But apart from that, nawafil, he did not say that to pray excessive nawafil and optional prayer, this is the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not say that recite Quran excessively and you will become the most beloved servant of Allah. This action is most beloved to Allah. He did not say that to fast excessively, optional fasting, is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. The answer he gave was that أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. That the most beloved person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that person who is most beneficial to his Muslim brother. وَأَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And which action is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which action will bring the most pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does he say? أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُرُورٌ تَدْخُلُهُ عَلَى مُسْلِمٍ أَوْ تَكْشِفُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً أَوْ تَقْضِي عَنْهُ دَيْنًا أَوْ تَطْرُدُ عَنْهُ جُوعًا. He mentions four things. If you were to do one of these four things, then that action will be the most beloved action in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, a happiness which you will create in the heart of your Muslim brother. This is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you pay off his loan. Or you remove one difficulty from him. Or if the person is hungry, then you fill his stomach and you fill his belly. This is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, if you study the history of Islam, you will find amazing stories of helping one another. I just gave you an example of Muhajirun and Ansar. In the time of Raja Dahir, who was situated in the greater India, in the subcontinent, once his pirates, they launched an attack on a caravan which was passing by. So they attacked them, they looted them, and they took all their stuff. There was one lady, one woman in that caravan. And some people, they were able to flee from this attack and they came to Hajjaj bin Yusuf. They came to Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And they said that we were looted and there were thieves and they took all our stuff. There was one lady, there was one woman. She was calling out your name. She was calling out your name. That, oh, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, where are you? Because at that time, Hajjaj bin Yusuf was the governor of Iraq. He was the governor of Iraq. When Hajjaj bin Yusuf heard this, and Hajjaj bin Yusuf was not a good person. He was not a good person. He was one of the greatest oppressor of the ummah. Imam Tha'labi rahimahullahu ta'ala has mentioned four names. that there are four people in the history who have killed more than 100,000 people. One of them is Hajjaj bin Yusuf. This is how big oppressor he was. This is how much he used to oppress people. He oppressed great tabi'een. And he also killed a great sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. He used to give order that this person should be captured. And he used to tell to his force that until you do not go and capture this person and bring it to me, I will not eat, I will not drink. He used to take out his sword, put it on his lap. I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink until you bring this person to me. And when this person comes, he would kill this person. Everybody was scared of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He was not a good person. But when he heard these people say that there was a woman in Indian subcontinent, she was calling out your name when she was being oppressed, that, "Oh Hajjaj, where are you? You are the governor of Iraq." He stood up from his place and he became so emotional. He said to his people that you go, and he dispatched one army that these people has to be defeated. Until they are not defeated, I'm not going to sleep on the bed. I will not go close to my wife. He dispatches one army. This army goes, they are defeated. He dispatches another army. They are defeated. And finally, he sends the army third time in the leadership of a great leader of Islam, Muhammad ibn al-Qasim al-Thaqafi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who came and who conquered the place of Multan and Sindh. He was the first person, Muhammad ibn al-Qasim, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he went with the army and they defeated him. And when they came back, this is when Hajjaj bin Yusuf said, "Now I'm satisfied." This was a tyrant king, my brothers and elders. This was a tyrant king. If we have a little bit of iman in our hearts, if you are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even a bit, and if we have love for Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, then we will get up now, and the situation is such that each one of us will have to stand up and help our Muslim brothers. Financially, morally, you can give good advices. You can help them in other ways. You can volunteer. This is a time to help our Muslim brothers. So let us go with this message that inshallah from today, this will be one of the objectives of our lives. Not only the Muslims of Syria, but wherever the Muslims are in need, or wherever the Muslims are in difficulty, whether they be in another country, they are overseas, or they are in our country, in our neighborhood, we'll go and help them and try to remove their difficulties. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that al-khalqu iyalullah, fa-ahabbu al-khalqi ila Allahi man ahsana ila iyalihi. That the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most beloved of creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who do ihsan in favor upon the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us help the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign that we have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a person came to Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great scholar and a very, very pious person from Pakistan. Once a person came to him and he said that, "How can a person tell that he has love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a physical body so that we can go to him, we can meet him, and we can say that I have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He says that it depends on the person's actions. If your actions are in compliance to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not contrary to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a sign that this person has love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that one of the greatest signs that this person has love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he has love for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. So let us help one another and let us work together and inshallah become one ummah and become one nation, so that we can help each other and we can become successful in this world and in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.